Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Awakening Blueprint for Life. I am B, the preacher. This is the day that the Most High has made, and we are going to truly rejoice on this day as being the set apart of Israel, his chosen people, and those strangers that are grafted in with us that do call this the day of the Lord right here, day that he rose from the tomb. Now, Sunday morning, not from Friday to Sunday, but in the midst of the week up until the Shabbat, after the Shabbat, when the sisters came to the tomb, the dressing, he was already God. All praises to the Most High for a risen Savior. We love him. Let's go for our Abba in prayer real quick. We got quite a few scriptures we're going to read, so I'm not going to belabor the time with any more musical tracks, although we give him worship, honor, and praise through music. Scripture said, come before his presence with singing and thanksgiving. That's how we enter in, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for an opportunity to worship you and praise you on this holy day, Kodesh set apart, and to be a part of something special, something great, the original holy day, the Shabbat that we worship you and we magnify you, we glorify you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Shema Yasha'Allah Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akai. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Okay, as I mentioned, we got some precepts and scriptures we're going to read, because today we're talking about the end of days, remote prophecy, and taking a look at what we're facing, what we're dealing with, but hoping to give some hope, not this false hope that they're giving out called hopium, where the right is fighting the left. That's one bird, that's two wings of the same bird. That's the same coin, flip sides. Our salvation is in Yeshua, whom this world calls Jesus Christ. He is our salvation, and he is soon to come. And we're going to see through Scripture how suddenly it's going to manifest and how it's going to happen. So when we read these scriptures, it should help you to understand the seriousness of the times that we're living in, and not to just shake it off like the world, giving in marriage, partying, kicking it, celebrating champs, drinking up, staying high, watching every movie, everything they can put their eyes on, partaking in all kinds of sins. No, it's not that time. You don't even have that time. So while they want you to turn up, it's time to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Let's go to 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha. And as you know, these 14 books in the Apocrypha were in the original 1611 version before being removed by the Nicene Council as we begin to awaken, because it has so much information, remote prophecy, and history. And you'll find that if you're reading the 66 without having read Jubilees, Jasher, Enoch, Apocrypha, Pseudepigrapha, you've got holes in your prophecy and your understanding. If you want to really put the pieces together, you got to study to show yourself approved, especially the books that have been hidden or that they try and downplay and tell you it's not canon. It's not inspired by the Most High. Lies to keep you in the dark and away from the truth. So let's go ahead and let's get into it. We're going to 2 Ezra 16. We're going to do a treatise on that first and foremost. And I'm trying to pace myself, as I'm going to have to do a lot of reading today. I'm not like the big timers that have somebody to read for them on YouTube. I've been doing my reading for myself for quite some time. 2 Ezra, the 16th chapter, and it starts off with, woe be unto thee, Babylon, and Asia. Woe be unto thee, Egypt, and Syria. Gird up yourselves with cloths of sack and hair. Bewail your children, and be sorry, for your destruction is at hand. Amen. Verse 3, a sword is sent upon you, and who may turn it back? A fire is sent among you, and who may quench it? Plagues are sent unto you, and what is he that may drive them away? May any man drive away a hungry lion in the woods, or may anyone quench the fire in stubble when it hath begun to burn. When we see that, that immediately gives us the precept in Obadiah about the fire, light, and stubble and the burning that's coming to Babylon in this world. I continue to read verse 8. The mighty Lord sendeth the plagues, and who is he that can drive them away? Let me pause here for a second. Don't lose sight of the fact that nothing happens in this earth without God's allowing it. You can blame this on Fauci, Gates, Wuhan, China, Asia, Russia, Moderna, and Pfizer. But when these things happen, it's being allowed in order to bring the judgment. Man is destroying himself. A fire shall go forth from his wrath, and who is he that may quench it? Verse 10, he shall cast lightnings, and who shall not fear? He shall thunder, and who shall not be afraid? Verse 11, the Lord shall threaten, and who shall not be utterly beaten to powder at his presence? The earth quaketh, and the foundations thereof. The sea ariseth up the waves from the deep, and the waves of it are troubled, and the fishes thereof also before the Lord and before the glory of his power. In the days, people, the judgments of the Most High. Verse 13, for strong is his right hand that bendeth the bow, his arrows that he shooteth are sharp, and they shall not miss when they begin to be shot into the ends of the world. Verse 14, behold, the plagues are sent, there you go, and shall not return again until they come upon the earth. The fire is kindled and shall not be put out till it consume the foundation of the earth. Brothers and sisters, that's talking about the end time destruction of this corrupt world by fire. It will not be put out till it has consumed. Takes you back to the times of Noah with the flood as well, when everything had to be destroyed because of the abominations and corruption of man and this earth, the desecration. And you know, listen, I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. You're not going to be hearing all this teaching and preaching for much longer with what they're trying to do with the internet. But know this, Noah cried out for 120 years and the people rejected the warnings that he gave them. It's to the point now where people are mocking the preachers and the prophets, but we're going to read a scripture that said this would happen. I adjure you to not take these messages lightly. It's time to repent. I digress. Verse 17, woe is me, woe is me. Who will deliver me in those days? 18, the beginning of sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear, the beginning of evils. What shall I do when these evils shall come? Everyone is talking about us living in some evil times right now, but you're not realizing this was prophesied. Everyone's thinking all of the governments are attacking us and bombarding us with so many things, and they're purposely, intentionally burning the animals, the crops, 3,000 cows dead just the other day, destroying the food processing plants, raising the oil, starting wars. This was prophesied to happen. 2 Chronicles 20 and 21 and 22 reminds us that when Israel went into battle, Judah would go out first praising the Most High. And as they would begin to sing praises, the enemies that were laying in wait for them would actually turn on themselves and begin to destroy each other to where we wouldn't have to fight. Two keys out of that. We're supposed to be praising him in the midst of the battle and everything going on, and know that as we worship him and praise him without fear, not running to get jabs and shots and putting things in our temple, but trusting the prophecies he's given us, he's going to let these enemies of ours, these people who want our destruction, destroy themselves, and everything will backfire. That's what that scripture says, and that's what you should take from that and know that what's happening right now, since today we're dealing with end of days and prophecy, is the confusion that was prophesied in 2 Ezra 16 and 18. I'm going to read that again. The beginning of sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear. The beginning of evils, drag queens teaching our children in school. What shall I do when these evils shall come? 19, behold, famine and plague, tribulation, anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. But for all these things they shall not turn from their wickedness, nor be always mindful of the scourges. Even in the midst of everything people see that's going on, nobody stopped partying. Nobody stopped turning up. Nobody's repenting. Nobody's praying. Nobody's fasting. They're still trying to turn up. Everyone is very cognizant and aware of what is happening all around us that I'm reading here in June of 2022. Listen to this part. So prophetic. 2 Ezra 16:21. Behold, victuals shall be so good, cheap upon earth, that they shall think themselves to be in good case, and even then shall evils grow upon the earth, sword, famine, great confusion. People are partying. A lot of the rich have gotten richer during this pandemic. Some of the poor have gotten poorer, but they took those government checks. They took that unemployment. They took those stipends, those awards, and they didn't pay their bills for years. They didn't pay their rent, didn't pay their mortgage. So while the supply was plenteous, people were eating, partying, enjoying. But we have more millionaires at this time, in this time of life, than we've ever had. People have gotten rich, are getting rich. These children that work in this tech field come out of their little tech studying schools making $120,000 a year and actually paying $4,000 a month for rent. The people think nothing of money anymore. They just think for the day and partying for the day and the next day and so on. Let's read some more of this prophecy in 2 Ezra. Verse 22, for many of them that dwell upon the earth shall perish of famine. We know that's coming. Some people have stored food, but a lot of people have not taken this serious. Famine is coming. It's come upon Israel before when the Most High gave Joseph the understanding to stockpile and store grain. And he was able to feed nations and Israel when we ran out of food. People have waited so long that they don't have any money now to store food. So there will be famine in the land. Let me finish with the prophecy. Shall perish of famine, and the others that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy. What is that? War. And the dead shall be cast out as dung. This takes me back to Psalms 91, where it says that 1,000 will fall at thy left and 10,000 at thy right. People are going to be dying from the pestilence, the plagues that they've injected inside their bodies, the famines, and the war. Things will not be plenteous. Verse 24, there shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. The trees shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripen, and who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 of the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of the rocks. As in an orchard of olives upon every tree, there are left 3 or 4 olives. Or as when a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters. Even so, in those days, there shall be 3 or 4 left by them that search their houses with the sword. This is boots on the ground, armies invading houses to see who's alive, what's left. After the bombs have dropped and the famine and the plagues and the increase of sickness because of the inoculations that people have willingly signed up for. 32, and the earth shall be laid waste, and the fields thereof shall wax old in her ways, and all her paths shall grow full of thorns, because no man shall travel therethrough. The virgins shall mourn, having no bridegrooms. The women shall mourn, having no husbands. Their daughters shall mourn, having no helpers. In the wars shall their bridegrooms be destroyed, and their husbands shall perish of famine. Hear now these things, and understand them, ye servants of the Lord. Behold the word of the Lord, receive it, and believe not the gods of whom the Lord spake. Don't believe the gods of this world, brothers and sisters. It says, behold the word of the Lord, receive it. Verse 37. Behold, the plagues draw nigh and are not slack, as when a woman with child in the ninth month bringeth forth her son within 2 or 3 hours of her birth. Great pains compass her womb, which pains when the child cometh forth, they slack not a moment until it is delivered. And that's just how quick destruction of these countries of Babylon will be, how sudden. And we're in those months where the dilation is taking place for something to come forth, and those pains, there's a groaning taking place. You're very much aware of this. Let me continue to read this prophecy. 2 Ezra 16 and 40. O my people, hear my word. Make you ready to the battle, and in those evils be even as pilgrims upon the earth. Know that this is not your home. Be ready to move when it's time to move. That's what that scripture is saying. He that selleth, let him be as he that fleeth away, and he that buyeth as one that will lose. That's a mindset you need to have in this hour. If you sell, be as one that flees away. Verse 42, he that occupieth merchandise as he that hath no profit by it, and he that buildeth as he that shall not dwell therein. Be not consumed with the things of this world. Even the 36th verse is saying, don't let these other gods, people that you worship, the news, the media, these presidents, priests, tell you that you've got time, everything's fine, and that they're going to work. No. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 4th verse, tells us whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of the people, that you might be deceived. You can't see because you are caught up into idolatry and covetousness, want, greed, and lust, the gods of this world. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, pride of the eye. That must be gone, and that's what these verses are saying. Let's get down to verse 44. They that marry, as they that shall get no children, and they that marry not, as widows. And therefore they that labor, labor in vain. For strangers shall reap their fruits and spoil their goods and overthrow their houses and take their children captives. For in captivity and famine shall they get children. These strangers are these foreign occupants that will take over the destruction of America, of Babylon, and some of these other countries. Your NATO presence, your wars, your United Nations armies, your CCP armies, boots on the ground. This is how we have to operate. They that marry, as they that shall get no children. We don't really, you know, it's kind of sad to bring a child in this world the way things are right now, and the way that they're kidnapping and trying to murder our children. It's really sad. They're not even releasing the statistics of the children with the myocarditis from what they have done to themselves. But let me continue to read. Verse 47, and they that occupy their merchandise with robbery, the more they deck their cities and their houses and their possessions and their own persons, the more will I be angry with them for their sin, saith the Lord. I'm going to read that again, verse 47. And they that occupy their merchandise with robbery, people that are taking things from people, and that taking things is all these people trying to get you to invest in Bitcoin, stock markets, Ponzi schemes, real estate at this hour. This is not the time for it. These people are setting you up to be ripped off, and it's because you lust for money because you feel like that's the solution to all of your problems when you're not taking care of the spiritual component, because the world is not the same. There is no American dream. We do not even need to be trying to operate the same. You want to just know how you can have what you need to move, but depend upon the Most High to make a way. Just like when the angels came and led Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah prior to destruction. We're witnessing the same thing. And Noah's family locked up in the ark, sealed, and then wild animals destroying the people, trying to beat themselves into the ark, saying, "Let us in." And the animals had to chase them off. No. Put our mind on the right things. Let's go back to 2 Ezra 16, verse 49. Well, remember 48. He said, the more you focus on the monetary things and decking things out, we're making the Most High, verse 48, the more will I be angry with them for their sins. Verse 49, like as a whore, envieth a right, honest, and virtuous woman. What a cold metaphor. It says, as a whore envies a virtuous woman, is how angry the Most High is going to be with the people that have the wrong focus in this hour. That is so potent. Verse 50, so shall righteousness hate iniquity. There's nothing wrong for you for having righteous indignation for what you see happening in this world with them trying to force this transgenderism on you and LGBTQ. That's Baphomet and the skewing of everything, and nouns and pronouns. Righteousness, let it hate transgression of the law. When she decketh herself and shall accuse her to her face. When he cometh, that shall defend him that diligently searcheth out every sin upon earth. And therefore, be ye not like thereunto, nor to the works thereof. That's your warning. For yet a little, and iniquity shall be taken away out of the earth. Hallelujah. Just a little while longer, people, just a little while longer before iniquity is wiped off the face of the earth and righteousness shall reign. Verse 53, let not the sinner say that he hath not sinned. And that's what they're trying to do, is get rid of the Bible and justify their sins and say, you only live once, and they're distorting sin and making that's evil good and changing good to evil and saying that our belief system is antiquated, we're old-fashioned, that law is done away with, you don't need to keep the commandments, I can love who I want, marrying same sex is legal, you can't tell me I am not in sin, this is justified by the laws of the land. This is how perverted things have become. So the scripture says, let not the sinner say that he hath not sinned, for God shall burn coals of fire on his head. The more they try to justify their sins, you need to know conscience is burning them up, which is why there's a plethora of drugs to suppress the guilt that they feel for doing what they do. They'll smile in your face on their pride day, but trust me, in late midnight hours after their pleasure has subsided and the conscience kicks in, these people are trying to get drunk, move to the next lover, or move to the next drug. They're trying to get rid of the guilt of knowing deep within themselves that what they're doing is a sin. It says this, God shall burn coals of fire upon his head, which saith before the Lord God, and his glory, I have not sinned. 54, behold, the Lord knoweth all the works of men. Listen, people, he knows your imaginations, their thoughts, and he knows what kind of hearts we have, if we really have good hearts. We talked about imaginations last week, so it's important for you to learn how to immediately resist imaginations and cast down imaginations, because now this demon, man, and this demon of science is using frequencies to penetrate your thoughts and bring thoughts of lust, anger, murder, perversion, all into your head, and you have to say, you're saying, where did that thought come from? The demons, the frequencies, the 5G, these things are just bombarding our minds, and you have to learn to meditate, pray, and concentrate on lovely things and not concentrate on the pain of the past. I continue. Verse 55, which spake but the word, let the earth be made, and it was made. Let the heaven be made, and it was created. In his word, talking about the Most High, were the stars made, and he knoweth the number of them. He searcheth the deep and the treasures thereof. He hath measured the sea and what it contains. He hath shut the sea in the midst of the waters, and with his word hath he hanged the earth upon the waters. Hath he hanged the earth upon the waters, not a globe floating in space. I just thought I'd pause on that. I don't want to get off the subject of the lesson, but when you read scriptures like this, you don't just pass it over. That's all telling of the fact of how creation stands. There are four pillars, there are four corners of the earth, and there's a firmament that covers this earth, and it lays still. It is not spinning thousands of miles and rotating around the sun with axis. But that's another lesson for another day. Verse 59, he spreadeth out the heavens like a vault. Upon the waters hath he founded it. In the desert hath he made springs of water and pools upon the tops of the mountains, that the floods might pour down from the high rocks to the water, the earth. Let me go back to verse 59. When he said that he spreadeth out the heavens like a vault, that is the firmament. There's nobody getting off this earth alive. You're trapped in here, and that's what Satan and the world and your governments don't want you to know, that creation is real and that he created a flat plane with a firmament, so it's a sphere. And there is places underneath that level that we live on called Tartarus, Abraham's bosom. There are more waters. There's caverns. There's taverns. You have to go back and relearn and get the understanding of the Most High's creation. Man has got you under the illusion that there's a whole universe out there and other planets to make you think, because he thinks he's going to be able to escape this destruction that we're reading about. But he's trapped here. So are the fallen angels, the fallen seed, the demons, and what they like to call aliens. No, they're already here. They've been walking amongst you. The only ones outside this sphere, this firmament, and the seven heavens, and excuse me, last week I said nine levels, it's only seven, is the Most High, the angels, the chosen, and these are the righteous angels, and our Savior, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when he opens that firmament, it's because he's coming to bring this destruction right here. So they've got you conditioned in your mind to think that when that firmament cracks open, it's going to be an alien invasion. No, the demons, the aliens are here. That's going to be our salvation and Esau, the Edomites, Moab, and Ammon's destruction. We started off this saying, woe unto Babylon, Asia, Egypt, Syria. Gird up yourselves. These are all places that had the Most High's people in captivity. We're in our final captivity right now. America, which is an offshoot of Rome and Greek captivity and Babylonian captivity and Egypt. It's a culmination of all of them to suppress a people. And we're here at the end, people. So they are in fear because they know they have an impending doom. There is no hope. Satan's got them deceived, thinking that he's going to take them outside of the first heaven and into the second, third, fourth, and fifth dimensions and heaven. And we're going to find out about their technology, which shall be destroyed by the Most High, their wicked inventions. I digress. Let's go back to verse 61. 2 Ezra 16:61, he made man and put his heart in the midst of the body. He did that. It was no sonic boom evolution. Verse 61 said, he made man and he put his heart in the midst of his body and gave him breath, life, and understanding. Yea, and the Spirit of Almighty God, which made all things and searcheth out all hidden things in the secrets of the earth. Surely he knoweth your inventions and what you think in your hearts, even them that sin and would hide their sin. He knows about CERN. He knows about the dark matter. He knows about graphene oxide. He knows about the chemtrails. He knows about the poisons and the serums and the toxins. He knows. Therefore hath the Lord exactly searched out all your works, and he will put you all to shame. Hallelujah. Verse 65. And when your sins are brought forth, you shall be ashamed before men. The people that are gloating in our faces right now and thinking they're winning, own sins shall be your accusers in that day. Go ahead. Flaunt it. Think that you're proud of everything that you're doing with your wicked body. It will accuse you in that day. 2 Ezra 16:66. What will you do, or who will ye hide your, or how will you hide your sins before God and his angels when they come down here? Behold, God himself is the judge. Fear him. Leave off from your sins and forget your iniquities. Forget the things you used to do in the past that were bad. Don't look back. Stop looking back. Stop wasting the time you have reminiscing. You know that's a sin, but this whole world has taught you how to reminisce. You love to hear the oldies. You love to look at the pictures. You love to live in the past. But what are you doing right now? And are you preparing yourself? Are you present? Carpe diem. Are you seizing the moment right now? Are you seizing life? Are you taking life by the horns? Or are you nostalgic? What is nostalgia going to do for you? It's Gnostic. Let's go back to verse 68. For behold, let's go to verse 67. Behold, God himself is the judge. Fear him, leave off from your sins, and forget your iniquities, to meddle no more with them forever. So shall God lead you forth and deliver you from all trouble. For behold, the burning wrath of a great multitude is kindled over you, and they shall take away certain of you and feed you being idle with things offered unto idols. And they that consent unto them shall be had in derision and in reproach and trodden underfoot. Do you know that this is saying for you not to comply and not to consent? That means to these mandates and everything they're trying to bestow upon you in fear. As a matter of fact, if someone does come knock the boots on the ground saying you got to go with us, you don't need to comply with that. That will be the days that go back to Matthew's when he said, everyone sell your garment and go buy a sword, because you are well within your rights to protect your family and yourself. Not going nowhere with you. They teach you that in basic protection. Never leave the scene of threat. Don't go with someone to a location or destination. But anyway, this is saying not to comply, and that takes us back to, I'm praying for those that have complied. And let me pause for 1 second. You still have time to repent. I'm not the judge, so I don't know what this stuff is doing to your body, or if it's allowed you to become a part of a system that's of this world. But I know that the Most High has given us some things to be able to help and aid people and minister to people. So I minister this word, but we have an herbal company, Herbal Soul, where we have products. And if you go to the Preacher's Wife on Instagram and on TikTok, you begin to learn about some of these things that might be able to reverse the damage that you've done to yourself because you made a bad decision. So that's another portion of ministry. I'll probably put in the link. I'll type it in the link before I log out where you can find some of these products, because we want to help you administer to you. But we have an instruction right here in this prophetic chapter not to comply. I'm talking about I had to, because you began to worry. Your faith wasn't built up. We lost faith because they cunningly invaded your churches, because many of you had not come into the knowledge of the truth to start studying and keeping Saturday. You were stuck on Sunday service, and they had infiltrated your pastors, and they began to preach a message of prosperity. They put you in a worldly mindset. Therefore, since you weren't getting word and understanding prophecy like this, your faith diminished, and the power of Ahayah, the Most High Yah, had left those churches because they were not preaching the gospel. They were not repentant. They were tolerating sin within their ranks. There was homosexuality. There was pedophilia. There was constant adultery. There was drug use. There was drunkenness. All these things taking place from Sunday to Sunday. It was just a running joke, to the point where the joke manifested in movies like Tyler Perry's movies, making fun, light of the church, and you would go and laugh and be laughing at yourself, not realizing that he's making a buffoonery of what you called your culture, your Sunday morning services that were filled with nothing but sins. No one keeping the commandments, no one keeping the dietary laws. So therefore, the faith has dissipated from the people of Yah, and because we became like the world on Sundays, we were listening to motivational speeches and trying to move our flesh, but not kill our flesh, motivate our flesh. And so you were getting your Joel Osteen's, your TV Snakes, your Creflo Dollars. You should have known Creator Floor Dollars right there. You weren't getting anything that would increase your faith for this hour, right here, to be able to stand strong, endure, and resist. You didn't receive the word. You didn't have experience with the Most High. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit. You weren't sealed. Therefore, you were not sealed. You didn't get baptized. You didn't renounce the world. You didn't renounce your sins. You just tried to abuse grace. And it puts you in a state of mind to where you started seeing this darkness, these mandates, and you complied because you had no faith. You just would going through traditions and what you thought was your culture, when this is your culture. You are an Israelite. The Hebrews, this is your Hebrew history book, and this is where you grow and learn. Let's go back to that scripture. Verse 67, behold, God himself is the judge. Fear him. Leave off from your sins and forget your iniquities, to meddle no more with them forever. Now let's go to verse 68. For behold, the burning wrath of a great multitude is kindled over you, and they shall take away certain of you and feed you, being idle with things offered unto idols. And they that consent unto them shall be had in derision and in reproach and trodden under foot. The ones that consented. Okay, I'll take it. For there shall be in every place and in the next cities a great insurrection upon those that fear the Lord. That's Jacob's trouble. There will be an insurrection for the ones of us that respect, fear him, and have faith, and that are holding out because we didn't comply. They shall be like madmen, sparing none, but still spoiling and destroying those that fear the Lord. For they shall waste and take away their goods and cast them out of their houses. Listen, people. And then shall they be known who are my chosen. There's going to come a time where the spotlight's going to shine on us who are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The people will know that these are his people because we refuse to comply. Then shall they be known who are my chosen, and they shall be tried as the gold in the fire. Are you ready? Can you stand the rain? We're doing all this to get ourselves pumped up, prepared. This is a battlefield of the mind. This is a gymnasium of the mind and of the spirit and of the faith. Are you ready to stand? I salute you if you've come this far and have not consented or complied, buckled, or been in fear, but you listened to the instructions of the Most High for the last 20 years, 15, 10 years, 5 years. You completely obeyed and submitted, and you are a willing soldier, willing to die for him. Now, don't worry. Many of us will be alive to see him break through the clouds, but you have to have the mindset that for God I live, for God I'll die. You have to have that mindset because these people, the hospitals now are killing fields. It's a morgue. I wouldn't trust anybody with a white coat and a clipboard and a prescription pad. That's the death of you. Let me finish this chapter out. Then shall they be known who are my chosen. And this, listen, you're going to be tried as the gold in the fire. Take courage when I read that, because we know the scripture says we'll be tried in the fire, but we will come out as pure gold. It's going to be all right. The trying is the final cleansing into that pure place. Verse 74, hear, O ye my beloved, saith the Lord, behold, the days of trouble are at hand, but I will deliver you from the same. Hallelujah. There's your hope. They're at hand, people. But he said, I'm going to deliver you. But you've got to persevere in these commandments. It says it right here. Let me encourage you. I'm going to close this out. Read straight through. Hear, O ye my beloved, saith the Lord. Behold, the days of trouble are at hand, but I will deliver you from the same. Be ye not afraid, neither doubt, for God is your guide, and the guide of them who keep my commandments and precepts, said the Lord God. That's right. When they told you on Sunday you don't have to keep them, they were trying to set you up to die. I am telling you right now how to live. Keep the commandments and live. Let's read it again. And the guide of them who keep my commandments and precepts, said the Lord God, let not your sins weigh you down, and let not your iniquities lift up themselves. Woe be unto them that are bound with their sins and covered with their iniquities, like as a field is covered over with busyness, and the path thereof covered with thorns, that no man may travel through. It is left undressed and is cast into the fire to be consumed. Those that are still partying and progressing in sins are in trouble and danger. Those of you who are keeping the commandments are going to come through this thing as pure gold. Let's get some more precepts. We'll come back to Esdras. I want you to see something. I told you we're going to do a lot of reading today. Let's go to, I want you to see something in the book of Job. Be not weary in well-doing, people. Be not weary in well-doing. We are definitely in the end of days. And I hope these scriptures, like what I just read, encourages your heart. Job, the fifth chapter, says in the 12th verse, it says, he disappointeth the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And all the weapons that they think they're going to use to destroy the Most High's people, they're going to be disappointed. He taketh the wise, verse 13, in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. So the wicked inventions will be destroyed. Go back to 2 Esdras, the 13th chapter, and I'll read that for you, starting at the 29th verse. Behold, the days come when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth, and he shall come to the astonishment of them that dwell on the earth. When this happens and he cracks that firmament, everybody's going to be like, uh-oh, it's real, he's real, this is real, game is over, we're in sin, we're about to be destroyed, we're screwed. That's what they're going to say. But you need to take courage, you commandment keepers. This is the patience of the saints, Revelations. It says, verse 29, he's going to begin to deliver them that are on the earth. Skip down to 31. And one shall undertake to fight against another, one city against another, one place against another, one people against another, one realm against another. And the time shall be when these things shall come to pass, and the signs shall happen, which I showed thee before. And then shall my son be declared, whom thou sawest as a man ascending, last time they saw Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land leave the battle. That means the battle has already taken place. There's wars, maybe the Third World War is taking place. It says they're going to leave the battle that they have one against another, and an innumerable multitude shall be gathered together, Armageddon, as thou sawest them willing to come and to overcome him by fighting. But they try to come to bar him in Armageddon, he shall stand upon the top of Mount Zion, and Zion shall come and shall be shown to all men, being prepared and build it like as thou sawest the hill graven without hand. And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations. Pause. Go back to Joel 5. Job 5:12. He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. 2 Esdras 13:37. And this my son shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations, their bombs, their tanks, their these missiles that Russia has that nobody else has, their EMP weapons, the satellite quantum computing weapons, destroyed in an instant, which for their wicked life are fallen into the tempest, and shall lay before them their evil thoughts. That was the precept for that. Let's go to, we'll come back to 2 Esdras, powerful prophetic book, but let's go to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. I'm going to start at verse 31 through 33. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. This is where we are now, and this is where we have been. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart, see, that church plan, church stuff is over. What happens is they show much love. We're sitting up here trying to preach on YouTube, Block Talk, every social media platform we can find. While we have it, we can go on the streets. They show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Men that will still be trapped into idolatry, sex, and adultery, and getting money, getting paid, still trying to buy houses when the banking system and economy is collapsing. You're stuck thinking you still have the American dream. I hear you. Occupy until he comes. But we just read that you're supposed to approach that as a pilgrim. Will you be willing to walk away from your new three-bedroom home that you just bought and that car and that job, if the Most High says move, leave? Can you tear yourself from the material things? Are you attached to all of that? You know, when they destroy this American economy, half of you are going to lose your 501ks, your pensions, everything's going to go down. You're going to have to start from scratch. Your mindset. Let me finish reading this, because we were warned about y'all, the true prophets that prophesied. It says that they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet had been amongst them. So now we're at the point where we're dropping dimes. That's all we can do, and keep it pushing. I'm not going to beg with you and plead with you. I don't need to sup with you, break bread with you. I've warned you. Let's go to 2 Esdras 6:25. Whosoever remaineth, I'm starting at the 25th verse. 2 Esdras 6:25, 25th verse. Whosoever remaineth from all these that I have told thee shall escape and see my salvation and the end of your world. See, this is your confirmation that there's going to be a remnant of people that are going to be alive, escape, and see all this destruction. It's almost like you're Denzel in the book of Eli, one of the last few left to see the destruction in rubble. I'm going to read that again. Whosoever remaineth from all these that I have told thee shall escape and see my salvation and the end of your world, and the men that are received shall see it who have not tasted death from their birth. There are people who will not taste death. And the heart of the inhabitants shall be changed and turned into another meaning. You will not be the same person at the end of this. Verse 27, for evil shall be put out and deceit shall be quenched. As for faith, it shall flourish. Corruption shall be overcome. And the truth, which has been so long without fruit, shall be declared. No fruit in Ezekiel 32 and 33 because they thought it was nothing but a lovely song. That's nice. Yeah, that's a good word. That was a good word, but they did not apply. Those days are going to be over, according to 2 Esdras prophetic book. I think I'm going to close out with Ezekiel. Told you we're doing end of days precepts today. So you can paint a picture of what's going on around you, why it's going on, and what's going to happen if you do the right thing, which is keep his commandments and live. Let's go to Ezekiel 34, verse 11 through 31. Give me 1 second. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered. Pay close attention to the parable, the metaphor. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Take hope, Israel, strangers that sojourn with Israel. Take courage right now. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. This is not talking about 1948 Khazar takeover of Palestinian's land. That's not it. Man did that. These are not the people of the Most High. This is talking about what's getting ready, the phase that we're moving into, where we're about to be saved for real. Verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lay down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I don't need no camp. I don't need nobody telling me they're going to save me when all this is taking place. I'm putting my faith and hope in what I'm reading right now. The Most High is going to gather me. I don't have to try and figure out by whatever supernatural means, because we've read of many supernatural means of people being teleported, transported, moved, time standing still. You don't know the mind of God, but my faith is in him, and I demonstrate my faith by abstaining from sin and keeping the commandments. And if I fall, getting up, repenting, and moving forward to getting those things that are behind me. So my faith is in him bringing my deliverance and my family. And who is my family? Like Yeshua said, them that do the will of the highest, the most high Yah. Those are our people, and we are the ones that will be delivered. Hey, all you can do is plant and water when it comes to your natural family. But at the end of the day, if they're living in sin and you're keeping the commandments and living in righteousness, how can two walk together except they agree? Darkness can't dwell with light. Somebody's going to influence or impact somebody. And if you are a weak believer, you're probably going to digress back into your old sins. Because many of you are lukewarm and don't have enough power to maintain your righteousness when you're amongst sinners, including your blood family members. You begin to take on their characteristics and get a little comfortable and let your hair down. Have one too many drinks. Let me continue. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lay down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Who are the fat and strong right now? Your new billionaires that are everywhere now. Your CEOs of corporations. Your political leaders who are now some of the richest people in the world. They're not here to serve you. They can care less about your constitution. These people are getting money and stomping on the poor and the meek. He said, I'm going to destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, commandment keepers, flock, Israel, O my flock, thus said the Lord God, behold, I judge between the cattle and cattle, between the rams and the goats. I do this. I'll separate. He said, let the wheat and tares go together. I'll separate them. We know we got the seed of Satan trying to dwell amongst us, playing church, playing like they know the Most High, and trying to confuse the masses. He said, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. 19, for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. What's that talking about? You get to eat the GMOs and what's left over, the bad crops, the bad meat, the food that you, the drinks and the stuff that we trust to buy out of our supermarkets and our stores, stuff that's left while they take the primo of the earth, the good water, the good crops, the good food. They're giving you meat made from bugs and plants while they're storing up cattle for themselves to eat of the finer meats that provide you with certain minerals that you can't get from this vegetarian lifestyle. Look at this. 19. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden down with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle, all you millionaires and billionaires, and between the lean cattle, us that's just making it and getting by. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. That's what they call us, useless eaters and batteries, slaves and workers. So he's saying, I'm going to judge between the cattle. 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Hallelujah. And will cause the evil. Brothers and sisters, our trouble from Deuteronomy 28, these curses, our reparations, true reparations and salvation will come when our God of justice, he's the habitation of justice, according to the scriptures. He is our habitation of justice. He will establish a new covenant of peace, and we will cease from troubling. He said, and I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely, Israel, in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves. The Queen of England and the Prince and the Premier and the Presidents and the Dictators and the CEOs. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. No more fear, from Deuteronomy 28. And I will raise them up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know the Lord their God am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, said the Lord God. Ahaya. Haya said, of Israel, they are my people. I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people. You Gentiles who want to be converted, be strangers and sojourn with us, talking about you graft men, you better hold tight to our fringes and come on with us, but repent. We're not following your ways, your Christian God, the false images of Cesar Borgia, Sunday Helio worship, and your tainting of the scriptures and how it's supposed to be understood and read. No. We're commandment keepers, and we're his chosen ones. And he's going to prove that. Ezekiel 34 and 31 says, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, said the Lord God. All praises to the Most High. For the end of days, what that will look like, what it's looking like, and what we're actually dealing with in this hour, in this time. And I wanted to get that out there because everybody all around us knows that these are dark days and trying to figure out what's going on. But while they're seeing that they're dark days, are you repenting? They're not. Some of them aren't even repenting or changing. It's just like a beautiful song. That was nice. And then they keep it pushing. They're deceived. So we need to tell the people to repent, see how we can be of help to them spiritually, physically. We were told in 2 Ezra, do not consent in this hour. And they're consenting left and right. You've got four booster shots. Whatever he tell you to do on TV, the news, you're going to do it. What is wrong with you? That is not your God. This is idolatry, covetousness, and fear. Come on, people. It's time to repent. Can you find some testicular fortitude to clean yourself up and get your mind right? Can you put your adultery and fornication away for a little bit? I mean, if you got a problem with physical affection, you need to have it, then go get married. Like he said, get married. He said, it's better to marry than to burn. And work out your soul salvation in your home where the bed is undefiled. I'm really just trying to help you. I'm telling the truth. It's time for all of you to grow up. But if you keep submitting yourselves to the ways of this world, because everything you watch on TV is encouraging alternative lifestyles, transgenderism, fornication, adultery, blasphemy, and greed. So can you be your own man, your own woman? Can you submit? Can you bring back the right structure of family? Can you forget about the American dream and think about the heavenly dream, the hope of glory for Israel and his people? Stop trying to hoard up all these things. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Yeshua. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. Once again, if you're interested in receiving this green powder of life that we have that can help to reverse, it's loaded with RNA, DNA enzymes, as well as tons of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, that can actually help to combat that bad decision that you made. So I'm just giving you the Instagram page right now and the TikTok page to kind of lead you to it. And it's V the Preacher's Wife. The name of the company is Herbal Soul. And there's a lot of products that might be able to assist you in your endeavor to be healed, to be whole, and try to combat along with the power of prayer and repentance. You got to repent for doing that. Your body's the temple. He's still a miracle-working God. And as I understand for right now, since Christ hasn't returned, the only unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit through our pocketbooks. Let's watch what we say, what we do, what we think, and where we go. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, and not a destination. Be the preacher, saying Shabbat Shalom, Kwam Yashar. We shall come out as pure.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
I got